Thanks, Howie. I'm delighted to be with you. It's actually Hinderacher, but that's pretty close enough.
Hinderacher. Okay. Thank you. I'm trying to make sure I pronounce it correctly. Listen, this is a great column you wrote. You really called out Bernie, from stem to stern here on this speech. What did you think when you heard this this line that he was peddling, which is really nothing new? A lot of us haven't seen it because we don't follow him as closely maybe as we should.
Well, I think that's right. I think the speech was valuable, frankly, because if you actually read it, it exposed both Sanders' radicalism and, frankly, how ill-informed he is.
So you were really taken aback, I think, by we're going to play the cut here. This is the one where he's talking about how the United States was founded on racism. Cut four, Steve, if you can play it.
The truth is that a nation which in many ways was created, and I'm sorry to have to say this, from way back on racist principles, that's a fact, we have come a long way as a nation.
He's sorry to have to say it, John.
Yeah, right, I'll bet he is. You know, Howie, the interesting thing to me is that Sanders is agreeing here with his forebears in the Democratic Party, like Stephen Douglas and Justice Roger Taney, who wrote the Dred Scott decision. This was the great subject of the Lincoln-Douglas debate. Stephen Douglas argued that when the Declaration of Independence said that all men are created equal, it meant all Englishmen. You know, it didn't include Germans or Swedes, let alone Negroes. And it was Douglas's position that America was and was intended to be a racist nation. And, of course, Lincoln argued the opposite. He argued that the promise of America is equal liberty for all, regardless of race. And Lincoln won that argument. You know, you could maybe say that Grant, Sherman, and Sheridan won the argument. That's what the Civil War was fought over. But it's really striking to me how modern leftists like Bernie Sanders want to go back and resurrect the discredited theories of Democrats like Stephen Douglas from the 19th century.
You know what gets me about Bernie is, and I met him when he first got elected as mayor of Burlington by, I think, 10 votes or something like that. I was working for a TV station. I had to go up and interview him. The guy has never learned anything. He's almost 80 years old, and he still has all these wrongheaded theories, like he's a 19-year-old college sophomore. He's learned
nothing.
That's
a great point, Howie. He got older, but he didn't get any wiser. He's still a hippie. It's like he's been living on a commune in Vermont all these years.
You know, John, we're speaking to John Hinderacher from PowerlineBlog.com. You know what gets me? He says he never smoked pot. I really find that hard to believe, given his viewpoint. I mean, it seems to me like he talks like he's done nothing but smoke pot.
He talks like he smoked pot right before he gave his speech.
I love this one, too. This was my favorite part of it from Bernie. We don't have a cut of this, but I'll read the you quoted it. I would hope and I believe that every person in this room today understands that it is unacceptable to judge people, to discriminate against people based on the color of their skin. Now, you use the word to describe that statement that, again, please don't use it on the air now or we'll have to bleep it out. But that is such, BS.
It is total BS. Liberals enthusiastically classify people according to the color of their skin and treat them differently. It's called affirmative action. And Bernie Sanders is an enthusiastic advocate of disparate treatment based on race.
The other thing, too, is, you know, he talks about this 90% tax rate like this is going to cure everything. You know, I mean, when we had a 90% tax rate, you still had all these rich people. They were just using tax dodges. You know, the corporations were buying everything. Joe Kennedy was living a lifestyle of a plutocrat like Daddy Warbucks when that rate existed. That's not going to change anything.
You know, Howie, a lot of people, most people, do not understand that the United States already has the most progressive system of personal taxation of any developed country. Our tax system is more progressive than Sweden's or Denmark's or anybody's. And yet Bernie Sanders keeps telling us how terrible the economy is, how lousy most Americans have it. Maybe we should try lower taxes. You know, I don't understand this theory that, you know, how is it going to benefit me if the government steals billions of dollars from Mark Zuckerberg? I mean, it's not going to help me at all.
Let's play the. You made some good points on the youth unemployment and his solution or his alleged solution for this. Let's play cut number three again, Steve. Bernie, this is Bernie yesterday at Liberty University in Virginia on the scourge of high youth unemployment.
There is no justice in our country when youth unemployment exists at tragically high levels.
I don't know where to begin there. There is no justice in our country. How about that, John? Yeah, what's your reaction
right,
to
exactly.
that?
Right, exactly. And he talks specifically about African-American young people and that 51% between 17 and 20 are either unemployed or underemployed, and he says there's no justice, but he never asked the question, why? Why is there so much youth unemployment? Well, Howie, let's tick off a few reasons. Reason number one is that the Obama economy is lousy. That's one reason for high unemployment.
Right.
Reason number two.
Regulation. High regulation is strangling the economy. High taxes are strangling the economy.
Strangling job creation. That's right. Reason number two is that most schools in the inner cities are run by teachers' unions, and most of them are pretty bad schools. That's reason number two.
Yeah, you could use the word suck here that you used in the column. Suck is now permissible. As you said.
Howie, we never use bad language on our website. I don't want people to get the wrong impression, but I admit I did use
inner city schools. I'm quoting you now. Inner city schools run by teachers' unions suck.
Yeah,
and they do.
That's true, and it's reason number two. Reason number three is that in many areas of the country, minimum wage laws make it impossible for these young high school grads or high school dropouts to find jobs that they realistically can perform.
Wait a second here, John. Bernie disagrees. Let's play cut number two here. Bernie, this is Bernie's take on the minimum wage and what has to be done with it. Cut number two. Hold on, John.
Millions of people are working long hours for abysmally low wages of $7.25 an hour, of $8 an hour, of $9 an hour, working hard but unable to bring in enough money to adequately feed their kids.
So,
well, you know how he sounds almost biblical the way he thunders on there, but the facts are quite different. Very, very few people work for the minimum wage. It's about 2 or 2.5% of the labor force. And more than 60% of those who are working for minimum wage are working part-time, and half of them are young people. So, you know, these low-wage jobs are typically either part-time jobs or somebody is supplementing a family income, or they're a way of getting your foot on the bottom rung of the ladder. And people start out at low-paying jobs, but they work their way up. They get experience. They get training. They learn the habits and the discipline of being in the workforce, and these jobs are a great way for people to get into the labor force and advance.
We're speaking to John Hinderacher from powerlineblog.com. You're a lawyer, right, John?
Yes.
So you know, being a lawyer, you run your own business, right? So if you were to, you know, be told that you had to double the wages of everybody that you hired, you'd hire a lot more people, wouldn't you? And you'd do something about the tragedy of
unemployment. You know, it's unbelievable how people fall for this stuff. Howie, I always like to ask my liberal friends, you know, if you think that a higher minimum wage is a great idea, why are you so cheap? Why don't you make it $100 an hour? How about $200 an hour? Man, we'd all be, lighting cigars with $50 bills. You know, obviously, the constraint here is how much wealth is a person able to create. And if you price a person out of the job market, you condemn him to unemployment. That's the worst thing you can do to a human being, or one of the worst things.
Bernie must be a very unhappy person, you know, when you think about it. I mean, he's so angry. I mean, here's a guy who's making like he has no real skills. He never had a real job as far as I can see. And he's making, I think, about $175,000. His wife was running a college for a while. She was making $200,000 a year. He's going to get a huge pension when or if he ever retires. I mean, what is he so angry about?
You know, it's a fact of sociology, Howie, and we trial lawyers, by the way, know it's also a fact of jury selection. You know, the people on the left are angry people. People on the right, conservatives, tend to be happy people. They think the world's a pretty good place. And I can't explain why some people have got this chip on their shoulder and this angry attitude toward the world, but you know, socialism has got to be the most tried idea in human history. I mean, people try it over and over and over again. It fails miserably every time. Look at what's going on right now in Venezuela. They can't produce toilet paper, you know, literally. That's how bad socialism is. And nevertheless,
rationing like, toilet paper, it's a workers' utopia.
Right. You know, I mean, it's crazy. And it happens over and over again when people try to actually practice Bernie Sanders' ideas. And for reasons I can't explain, these old socialists never learn.
If only we could do something about the scourge of the overabundance of aerosol deodorants, we could get this country back on the right track. But, you know, on the other hand, while he's attacking people who work for a living and is really angry about that, in the same speech, probably the craziest thing he said is this cut we're about to play, and you got into it. I'll ask you to respond to it after we play it. It runs almost a minute, but we have to play it. This is Bernie Sanders is talking about he's on top of everything else, on top of being a great economist, he's also a theologian. And listen to his take on the world's most popular religions. Cut number 7.
But I am motivated by a vision which exists in all of the great religions, in Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam, in Buddhism, and other religions. And that vision is so beautifully and clearly stated in Matthew 7:12. And it states, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you.
Or as that's translated by the Quran, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them.
Yeah, you know, did Muhammad tell the parable of the good infidel? I don't think so. And I don't think it says anywhere in the Quran that you should treat infidels the way that you would like to be treated by infidels. You know, Howie, I've noticed over the years that this idea that all religions are the same and you can sum up all the religions with the golden rule is a terribly silly idea, an ill-informed idea, and it tends to be one that's held by people who are not religious. I don't know if that's true of Sanders or not, but that tends to be the non-religious person's view of religion.
But, you know, we're speaking to John Hinderacher from powerlineblog.com, and I can't recommend this highly enough. They took down Dan Rather. Dan is still in denial. John, I should ask you about that now that I've brought it up. What do you make of this? There's this new movie out, and Dan Rather is still claiming that his story was correct.
Well, he's not the only one who's in denial. You know, this new movie is called Truth, and it just premiered at the Toronto Film Festival. And it stars Robert Redford as Dan Rather and Kate Blanchett as Mary Mapes, this left-winger who produced that 60-minute segment about President Bush and the Texas Air National Guard. And I have not yet seen the film, but I take it that the film takes the position that all those allegations were true and the documents weren't faked, which they obviously were.
Right. How many hours did it take you to straighten that out? Like,
well,
two or
it was
three
unbelievable.
Hours?
And it wasn't, you know, we were really a conduit, where we were publishing facts and so forth that were being brought to light, you know, by our readers and by others. But, you know, within 12 hours after we put up the original version of the 61st Minute, that was the name of the post, and then we kept updating it through the day, but within 12 hours after that initial post, the management at CBS News had announced that they were going to initiate an investigation.
I got to play one more cut for you. I want you to comment on this. How can you not vote for a guy who's going to end the scourge of another scourge of death in the United States? Cut number 5. Here it is.
People should not be dying in the United States of America when they are sick.
As my co-host today, VB, said, should they be dying when they're healthy?
Right, exactly. As I wrote in my post, sorry to break it to you, Bernie, but some sick people do die, even in socialist countries.
John Hinderacher, thanks for being with us. It was great having you on. I hope we can have you on again.
I'd be delighted, Howie. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's John Hinderacher. Check it out, powerlineblog.com. And I can't repeat the headline to his column, BS from Bernie. I'll sum it up that way. Aren't you sorry now, VB, you didn't take that course when you had the chance with Bernie Sanders? He could have taught you how to avoid dying.
How much was that course going to cost me, I guess, is another question.
1-800-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.